morning, she mentioned the way. And what I want to try to bring to you this morning is just this title, The Way. Something that's been on my heart for a couple of weeks. And we just want God to have His way, because God's way is the best way. Sometimes we think we know the way, we think we've got it figured out, and there's a lot of people that do, but they're going to learn that man's way is not the way. God's way is the way. So if you got your Bible, let's read out of John chapter 14 and just read verses 1 through 6, and then we'll pray that God would guide us in the path that He'd have us to go with the Scripture. And I believe this about ministry and about teaching or preaching is you need the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we think we've got it figured out. We think we've got an outline. We think we've got a message. And what we want is the message that God wants. And, you know, we went to this conference and, you know, Brother Johnny Hunt, he had a couple of messages. And, you know, there were other speakers there. And I noticed sometimes they didn't cover all of it. They spent all their time. And I told somebody, I said, I believe he could preach for about 3 hours. You know, you just get to where there's just so much. And you know the Word of God is so full and it's so rich. But here's what we want. This is why the movement of the Holy Spirit is so important. We want what God wants. Because God knows every person that's in the building. He knows our hearts. And He knows how to send His Word with His Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And I don't know about you, but I'll tell you about me. I need God to speak to my heart. I need God to speak to me and help me have understanding. I need God to speak to me and give me direction. I need God to speak to me and give me peace. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the world today. There's a lot of things in your life that you're not going to be able to control. But God's not changed. Amen. You know, I mentioned earlier the little wooden church up in the mountains. And there have been a few times that we've gone up there my lifetime, and we'd take a acoustic guitar, and we'd get in there and we'd sing, and I've even seen preachers get to preaching. I've been in service my whole life. Sometimes the things around us change. Sometimes even the worship and the church style, the music, it might change. But here's something that I want you to understand. God's not changed. And we want God to be in control, and we want Him to guide us. So let's read this scripture, and very familiar. I know it's familiar scripture, and I refer to it often, but folks, there's going to come a day when you're going to want this scripture right here. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now what I want you to see here is He said, I am the way. Not a way or a possible way or I was the way, I used to be the way. He said, I am the way. Now it seems like in the world that we're living in today, there are people who love God and they want the things of God. And there are some people who mock God, they deny God, they don't want the things of God. And, you know, really what's been on my heart lately is I have seen people who think that they made their own way. You know, they're a self-made man, as the saying goes, and they don't give God the glory for anything in their life. And it's almost, and I've seen it, and it's troubling to me. It's like, you know, if you want to have something in life, you got to make your own way. You're responsible for everything you do and everything you don't do, and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. There's only so much, though, that you're going to be able to do. You see, there's going to come a time, I believe, in every person's life that you're going to come to the absolute end of yourself. You're going to be at the end of what you can do. You're going to be at the end of what you can propose. You're going to hear the words that will come to you that say there's something going on. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, the Bible teaches us, and it says that, you know, it's appointed unto man once to die. Now, there's a couple of different ways you can look at that scripture. You can look at it, and it's very specific that you can teach it that you got to die to yourself. You got to die to the world, and that's what being saved is. And I heard Johnny Hunt really drilling on it this past week about why baptism was so important, not for salvation, but as evidence of salvation, that you show the world you followed the Lord in baptism because you've died to the world and you're raised to walk in newness of life. Now, obviously, you can teach that way, and it fits right there. But don't you also know that you are going to die? You're going to come to the point that your life is going to be over. And as I look at my own days and I count them, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 90, in verse number 12, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." If we study time and you go back to the, you know, the Old Testament and you look at what happened before the flood, man would live to be upwards of 900 years old. A lot of reason for that, a lot of science for that. I don't have time to get into it all, but I'll tell you that prior to the flood, prior to the eruption of what was the ozone layer at that time, prior to the deluge coming up, everything lived for hundreds and even thousands of years. You ever thought about how big an alligator would be if it lived 1,000 years? Give you something to think on, but I'm moving on, okay? Then you go on a little farther, and man's days were 120 years. Every now and then you hear somebody living up into their 90s or 100, but it's a very, very small percentage. You're more likely to die at 15 or 20 years old than you are to live to be 100. Then you go on a little farther and you study that because of man's fall and because of the condition of the world, man's days were 70. Now that's 70 years. And as I've gotten older and I just had another birthday a few months ago, I'm thinking, that's just not that old. And I think about my life and how much of it's lived, and I look at what's in front of me, and I realize that the window of opportunity that I have is very limited. You know, if you're past 70, you're already living on the credit, per se. What a blessing. But the reality of it is, and I said all that to say this, is you're going to get to the point that you're going to die. And when you die, whether you admit it or not, whether you like it or not, you're going to stand before God, and you're going to have to give an account. And I believe the question is really going to come down to, what did you do with Jesus? Amen. Yes. We can talk about a lot of things, and we all need grace. We need God's grace to cover our sins, past, present, future. Well, what are we doing with Jesus? You see, the scripture says here, Jesus said to them, "I am the way." But I want you to consider just a few things about the way. Jesus is the way to be saved. If you want to be saved, if you want to go to heaven, you're going to come through Jesus Christ, or you will not go. Now, the world that we live in today, and I heard a man, I was talking to him, the missionary I mentioned, he said there are over 1,000 different denominations in the United States. And he began to tell me, and I thought, well, I knew there were a lot, but I didn't realize there was that many. He said, but how many of them are really telling you that the way is Jesus? You see, you can't get to heaven unless you go through Jesus Christ. You're not going to get there saying, I'm going by way of the Old Testament, but I'm not a believer in Jesus. I'm going to heaven because I am a member of this religion, or I'm a member of that denomination. If you make it to heaven, it will be because you accept the atonement of what Jesus Christ did for us. That's what the Bible teaches. And if we don't stand on the Word of God and believe the Word of God, what do we stand on? You see, a lot of the popular denominations in America today, the ones that have grown, the ones sometimes that have so much money, were actually created in the last 200 years, and they are an apostasy, which is a falling away from the truth of the last days to deceive many. Where the Bible talks about in the last days that they'll say, lo, here is Christ, or there is Christ. They don't have to say, that's Jesus Christ standing over there. What they do is they tell you, that's the way to heaven, but it's another way other than going through Jesus Christ. That is a lie. That is apostasy. That is the work of the enemy. That is a cult. Because if you're going to be saved, there's one way to be saved. That's coming by grace through faith. Through Jesus Christ, you cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot get to heaven without coming through Jesus. You see, if you believe that he's the way to be saved, here's what I want you to understand. Jesus Christ and what the Bible teaches is the way to live. Sometimes people say, well, I can be successful. I'm successful. I have this. I have that. Doesn't the Bible teach us, it says this, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see, it's the way to be saved. It's the way to live. And folks, it's the way to die. There is a right way to die. There is even a right way to suffer. You know, one thing that I've learned, when you're going somewhere, you need to know the way. Now, we've got these cars today that have these GPSs in them. Well, let me tell you something. I've learned not to believe everything it says. We were heading up to Rock Mart not that long ago, and we were going up to a place, and it said, turn here, I turn there. And if I'd have kept going, I'd have been in the river. The road might have been there before, but it wasn't there now. Last time we were over in Gadsden, Alabama, we were over there at the singing with Brother Jonathan Wilburn, and we were coming back home. We went to a dead-end road in a subdivision, and I had a trailer behind me. You ever wanted to be mad at something and realize it's just a computer? Nobody to blame. You see, if you're going somewhere, you need to know the way. There's a song that Elvis Presley sang, I Did It My Way. I'm not real crazy about that song. I remember one time several years ago, I was just a very young preacher. My wife and I had not been married long, and I went there to support our pastor who was doing a funeral. And Brother Kenneth was preaching the funeral, and he was the pastor that married us, and I was just there supporting him. And he was up preaching the Word of God, and as he was preaching, a family member walked up behind him on the stage and put in a tape of Elvis Presley and pushed and started playing I Did It My Way. They didn't want God preached. They didn't believe in the things of God. And they were saying, I'm doing it my way. I'm not accepting what you're saying. It troubled my heart so much, I slapped the bench. My Bible wasn't there. I didn't bring it in. It's like, I'm going to fight with my word. But it wasn't there. But do you realize, folks, that's where a lot of the world is at? You see, you can either do it God's way or you can do it your way, and you know which way you're going right now because you're either at peace with God, walking with God, or you're doing it your way. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12, a verse says this, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And then I want to go down to Matthew chapter 7 and read just a couple of verses. It says this, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, if we contrast these two ways, there are two different ways. There's the broad way and there's the narrow way. I've even heard people say, well, you know, this Christian walk, this Christian way, it's just way too narrow for me. You know, if we ever want to be right with God, one thing that's going to have to happen in our lives is we're going to have to surrender to God and accept that God's way is the right way and our way is the wrong way.
Yes, amen.
You know, I've seen people, they want to claim Christ and they want to claim the things of God, but they want to live in open sin. And then they want to make excuse for it and say, I've heard it this way. Well, everybody's doing it. Well, the world's changed. Y'all remember that old John Conley song? I think it was John Conley, Old School, where he talks about, you know, we had a girlfriend and she broke up with him for the guy that had all the money, and she called him on the phone and wanted him to come by because the husband had left. And he said, she said, everybody's doing it. He said, not me, I'm from the old school. You know, where we're at today in the world that we're living in is people say, I just can't live that narrow way. I can't go that way. Let me tell you something. Until you go God's way, you're never going to have peace. You're never going to be right. It don't matter what the world accepts. It don't matter what the world does. It don't matter what the politicians are writing the laws about. Sin, sin in the eyes of God. And it's going to be sin till Jesus comes. And somebody needs to tell it. There's a broad way and there's a narrow way. Doesn't the scripture say this broad way leads to destruction? And many there be that go in thereat. Then there's the narrow way that leads to life. Now I want to tell you something about me and my walk with God. I do not want to live like the world. I don't. I don't want to live out there. I don't want to go out there. All the stuff that's out there, I don't even want to see it. When I know I have to drive to Atlanta, I start moaning and groaning. Now, I know everybody's not like me. I could be parachuted in somewhere. As long as you drop me groceries, I'll be all right. But I'll tell you where I'm at in my walk with life. I mean, we change. We go through changes, don't we? We get over one battle and one hill, and all of a sudden we come to the point in life that we've got something else to face. We got to learn to trust God. We got to walk with God. Just because I don't want to live like the world doesn't mean I don't need the strength of God. It doesn't mean that I don't have to submit to God. It doesn't mean that I don't have to surrender to God. But until you make a decision that you're going to give up the world and walk with God, you don't have to worry about the devil, because the world is your playhouse. That's where you've decided to live. So if we're going to talk about spiritual warfare, you got to overcome yourself, then you got to overcome the world. And most people never get to that point. So when you blame the devil, he ain't got to do nothing to you. You already surrendered to him. Now if we're going to walk in God's way, the way, we're going to have to surrender to God. And the scripture said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, this is my life verse. And I'll tell you just a little bit about my testimony. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says this: trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And I'll tell you how this became my life verse. Back when I was about 18 years old, I was at the point in my life, I was already called to preach, I was already preaching, and I had a girlfriend that God said was not right for me. He said, that is not the person that I want in your life. And I want to tell you something. If you're going to get God's will and you're going to get right with God, you're going to have to overcome your own emotion, and you're going to have to surrender to the will of God. Because right now, I believe the Holy Spirit speaking already to somebody, because we've invited him to be the king in this house today. And I said, God, I'm surrendering. I have to surrender to you. And I had to put my feelings aside to obey God. And I can remember going down to Black Hawk Hills. I think they changed the name of it to Zion Hill Baptist Church, just a little bitty church. And I went in and I laid down prostrate on the carpet, and I laid down on my face and I surrendered to God. Now, folks, I was saved. I was already preaching. But I absolutely surrendered my life to God. I said, God, if I live in a tent by a river, I'm surrendering to you. God, if I never have anybody in my life, I'm surrendering to you. Now, you got to realize, folks, I was a young man. I thought I was already a hermit. Now, folks, I come from a generation. My wife and I got married 2 weeks after she graduated from high school. Y'all don't listen to that. But I can remember when I laid there on my face before God and I had my Bible and this verse, these verses become my life because I surrendered to God. And I said, God, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to surrender to your will. Amen. Let me tell y'all, folks, I made $7 an hour and I'd had a truck that burned 4 quarts of oil a day. I didn't have anything. I didn't think I'd ever have anything. My parents lived up in the mountains in a double-wide trailer on 3 acres. And I was at that point in my life, I said, God, I don't see how I'll ever be able to even have what they have. But I surrendered to God and I said, there's no way that I want to go through life my way and not have the peace of God. Until you surrender to God and go God's way, you can go your way. But I'll tell you where you're headed. You're headed to an end of destruction. You see, this way to live, it needs to be led by the Spirit of God. You know, one thing that I believe, you get saved, I got saved when I was 12. What's the first thing I did when I went outside the church? I got into a fight with my sister. One of the deacons got me and said, didn't you get saved? I said, yeah. But I'll tell you something, I got saved. 12 years old, I can still remember. I was raised in a Christian home. Folks, I can remember what it's like to be rejected in high school because I was a Christian. Not to be invited to the parties, not to fit in, not to have the same language as everybody else, not to act like everybody else. And they don't want you around when they find out that you don't live the way they live. Of course, who wants to live that way? But you still get hurt when you're pushed aside. And I can remember sometimes because I was at an age that I was growing up and I was struggling. I'd go over here, I'd go over there. But I remember one time that I was in a place. I was 16 years old. I was in a place. And folks, it wasn't a terrible place, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And some people say, well, you can't hear God audibly. I want to tell you something. This is what I want you to understand. I believe if you're saved by the grace of God, God's going to speak to you and you're going to know His voice. And He's going to speak to you in the spiritual realm, but when He speaks, you know His voice. Doesn't it say in the 10th chapter of John, He said, my sheep know my voice, and my voice they're going to follow. And He called them out from the circle of many others that were there. But the reason every sheep did not follow the shepherd is they did not know the shepherd's voice. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans chapter 8. Verse number 14. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I was standing in that place, and I heard a voice. Have you ever heard something in you? Have you ever been sitting at a red light, and the voice just said, don't go? And the car speeds through. You ever heard people say, well, you know, a little voice just told me, learn to listen. I was standing there and God said this, would you want me to come back now and find you in this place? Folks, I knew who that was. And you say, well, you know, your conviction may not be my conviction, and I'm into all that, folks. There are absolutes, but they're absolutes for everybody. There are convictions, and then there are preferences. And your convictions grow based on your relationship with God, and you need to not let your preferences cause you to judge and not love your brother. But I was there, and what God said to me, and He spoke to me through His Spirit, He said, I'm calling you out. He said, I'm calling you to a different place. I'd already heard the voice of God tell me when I was in the 9th grade at Lithia Springs High School. He said, one day I'm going to have something for you to do. I was on the left side of the gym, walking through the double doors on this side. I know exactly where I was standing. It was that same voice. He didn't say, I'm going to call you to preach, but I knew. When I was standing there and He said, would you want me to come back and find you here? I knew. You see, here's evidence that you're saved by the grace of God. The Christians know the way. They know the way to live because they're led by the Holy Spirit. And here's something I believe if Christians would get a hold of, it'd help with your disciple classes. It'll help with your Celebrate Recovery. It'll help with your Sunday school. Is we need to learn as Christians how to listen to the Holy Spirit and the voice of God and let God lead us. Because the truth is, we already know the way to go. We're just not walking in it because we've not surrendered to it. So you live led by the Spirit. What about this one? Live demonstrating kindness. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 32 says, "And be ye kind one to another and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." A couple of weeks ago at Celebrate Recovery, we had Brother Tommy Campbell here, and he did a great job giving his testimony. And Tommy Campbell, he'll tell you, he used to be a rough guy. Rough. He's still a big guy. I hugged him, and I think he said he just turned 60. He's still like a football player. But he stood up here, and he said, "I got saved," and he said, "I surrendered my life to the Lord in the back of a police car." He said, "But there was one more thing." He said, "God, I'm going to get sanctified after I get out. There's one more guy I got to take care of. I'm going to surrender, I'm going to do your will, I'm going to preach, but I got to get him first, Lord." We laugh, but we got somebody too, don't we? He said, "But God took me over there to that scripture," and he said, "as much as possible, live peaceable with all men." You know what we want to do when we don't like what the Word of God says? We begin an argument with God. We get to the point that we try to rationalize our sin. We try to make excuses for why we're living. And we want to talk about how our way is better than God's way. And we want to make excuses to the point that I want to tell you what will happen to you. You'll get so miserable in life because you're saved and you can't live in the world and be happy. He said, "God just kept taking me back to the verse and taking me back to the verse." You ever pray somebody you hated? You ever pray for them? "Oh, you're not supposed to hate people." I know. But has God ever laid it on your heart to pray for somebody and you don't like them? Let me tell you how to get relief. You start asking God to let you love them. You start asking God to move on their behalf. I want to tell you something that will help your marriage. Pray for your spouse. Pray that God would bless them. Pray that God would help you have the love for them that Christ had for the church. And when you start praying that way and you start seeking the will of God and the things of God begin to move in your life, He'll teach you about kindness. He'll teach you about forgiveness. See, because Christians, they should live with kindness and they should live showing forgiveness. Says, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you their trespasses. Be forgiving. Show forgiveness. Mark 11:25. And let me say this, folks. Let me tell you something. If you're here in the house of God this morning and you're here as a visitor, you're here as a member, let me tell you what we ought to do. We ought to love one another, forgive one another. There's enough going on outside them doors right there that we got to fight. There should be absolutely no division whatsoever in here. Doesn't the scripture say how good and how pleasant it is when men will dwell together in unity? Let me tell you something, folks. Until Jesus comes, the Bible says that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. The people of God must stand together, forgive one another. When people do you wrong, in the building, in your family, forgive them because there's enough out there. I said something recently, and then I heard it said last night, and I've been paying attention to it. It is believed very strongly within the next 2 or 3 years, it's likely that we will be in the next world war. It'll be with China. It'll be with Russia. You're going to have these other countries like North Korea, like Iran, that are going to jump in, and it's going to be on all sides. You know what that means? That means that people need to drop their divisions, and they need to come together. They need to learn what it means to go to an altar and cry out to God and believe that God hears our prayers. During World War II, the church doors were left open, and mothers would come in and pray. There's going to be sons involved. There's going to be families involved. And we need to learn how to love one another. Sometimes people get separated over the least little thing, and I can't even understand it. You know what it means? It means that some people that are called by the Word of God need to get right with God. You know why people get so upset? Because it ain't about them. Show forgiveness. Show kindness. Doing good toward others. Luke chapter 6, verse 31 says, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them. I heard something this weekend I liked. He said, we get saved. We get to salvation through Jesus. But something else we ought to also get is Jesus' life. Another scripture say in one place, and this is a tough verse, if any man say that he is in Christ, he ought to walk even as he walked. Here's what people say to that. I'm not Jesus. I can't live that way. I'm not either. I'm not either. When I'm going down the road, and folks, I like to drive 35 into 45. I'm the guy. I'm the one, okay? I try to pay attention. Yeah, Jeff passed me yesterday, by the way. I try to pay attention. Just at least run the speed limit, okay? By the way, I bet I get better gas mileage than all y'all. But living in this world today, I want to tell you something. There's things that happen. There's times I get upset and I can't help but say, I'm not Jesus. There's a little more to it than that. We get the life of Christ in this. What did Jesus do? The scripture says, I love it, become my second favorite verse of scripture in the Bible. It says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. We ought to ask God to give us his heart so that we look at the world the way he looks at it. You know, there are standards and there is truth, but just because somebody's walking in sin or living in sin don't mean you need to throw them in the dumpster. You need to love on them and show them the love of Christ so that there'd be something that they'd want. Who wants what you have? Who wants what you have in your relationship with God? If you're so rigid and stiff that you can't help nobody and you can't see good in nobody, nobody's going to be led to God by you because nobody's going to want what you have. If we act like Jesus, they're going to want what we have. You see, here's what Jesus did. He told them the truth, and he loved them through it. You know, how can you say you love somebody if you don't tell them the truth? You have to tell them the truth, but you still got to love them. You know, we live honoring God in all that we do. I'm going to try to hurry. I want to read Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It says this. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Now, folks, I can't read this verse right here and not think about my dad. My dad quoted this verse to me when I was a teenager more times than nothing. I thought back then, I thought it's because he's paying me 50 cents an hour. I remember I went to work with my dad and was working in these big houses over near Northside Hospital, and he would have me sand with sandpaper, 220 grit. I can remember getting home at the end of the day and I would have no fingerprints. And I worked 8 hours and I made $4. But I was 12. And he was teaching me things about ethics and about work. And he said, son, if you work for a man, if you're making 50 cents an hour or $50 an hour, you ought to give God, you ought to give him an honest day's work. Now here's where we're at in America today. The work ethic has fallen away so much, that's why we're having some of the problems we have. You know, if we live honoring God in all that we do, it don't matter whether you're the president or whether you're the one sweeping the floor. You ought to do it for the honor and glory of God. Folks, that's what the Bible teaches us. And if you don't learn how to work for somebody, you'll never lead anybody. We ought to live walking with Christ. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm trying to do better. And can I tell you this? I pray that God would help me be a better husband. I think I'm better than I used to be. But I still ain't got it figured out because every now and then I still get the look. Every now and then, Brother Billy, she still stomps off and I wonder, what was it that I did? But I'm praying that God would help me be a better husband. I'm praying that God will help me be a better dad. I'm praying that God will help me be a better pastor. I'm praying that God will help me be a better listener. That's important. Sometimes you got to slow down enough. You know, the reality of it is that I'm standing here preaching, oh, he thinks he's this, he thinks he's that. I tell you what I am. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I believe the way to live is through Jesus Christ. The way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. And folks, the way to die is through Jesus Christ. You see, there is certainty in death. Oh, Job asked the age-old question in Job 14:14a. He said, if a man die, shall he live again? And then he answered, he said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Then he goes down and he confirms it down here in the 19th verse. He said, and though after my skin, the 19th chapter, the 26th verse, he said, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, and whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another. Now, folks, here's the way you die. You die with preparation. I want to tell you something. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, if you've never prayed and asked God to be your personal Savior, you're not prepared to die. Amen. You say, well, you know, I'm young. I can remember when I was 15, I'd grab a hold of the side of a pickup truck, jump slap over it, and I had an uncle standing there, and he grabbed his back. He said, one day you won't do that. I remember when we lived in that same house, it was a one-story. I'd get on the top of it and run and jump off. Jump out of deer stands when I shot a deer because I was excited. I don't do that stuff anymore. Now, my body's changed, but I'll tell you something I've done. I've made preparation. I've made preparation. I've asked the Lord into my heart. Everything is fine. If I die today, I'm going to heaven. It's not because I'm good. It's not because I've deserved it. It's not because I've given. It's not because I've served. It's because Jesus Christ went to the cross, died for my sins, and I said, yes, Lord, I want everything of my life placed under the blood. Everything. But if you've never prayed, just because you're 15 or 20, you're not okay. Caskets come in all sizes. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Die with preparation, you also die with expectation. Now, folks, here's the great news. Here's the good news. You're here this morning serving God, you're doing the right thing. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And what he said right before that, when he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, and in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And here's the good news, the expectation, that my loved ones that are saved are already with the Lord. My dad and mom are there. Sometimes I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't struggle wanting to go out in the world and live, but I tell you where I do struggle. I struggle when you have 14 funerals in a year. I remember Brother Tommy Graham, and I miss him. I miss Brother Tommy. And he'd come up to me and because we had so much going on at the church, and he would check on me, and he'd say, you okay? He said, no, really, are you okay? I'd always say, yeah, I'm okay. But just to be honest with you, sometimes I'm not okay. Sometimes I'm hurting so bad. And I used to be able to talk to him a little bit about that. But I'm not okay because I'm missing him. I'm not okay because I'm just like you, and I'm questioning God. I'm saying, God, I don't understand. And my walk with God is not determined by what's out in the world, wanting to go down to the liquor store or the drug addicts or places like that. My walk with God is learning how to follow a God that's in control, that's all-powerful, that's got more understanding than you and I do, to know how to keep pressing on, and don't quit, and follow God and serve God and keep delivering the message, because the message is still true and it's the right message. Why? Because it says this in 2 Corinthians 5:8. Says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. You know, we die with preparation, with expectation, and with peace. But I want to give you something real good about what's waiting on us. Down here, I've been saved by the grace of God. I walk by the grace of God, but I still struggle. Because when them cars pass me and they about clip my bumper, I'm wondering if that ram bar on the front of that exterior will do what it ought to do. I still struggle. I'm in the flesh. I'm still here. But here's what's going to happen. There's going to come a day that the grace of God is going to be complete. Because when I leave this life and I go into heaven, folks, I want to tell you, there's not going to be any more struggles. Now, there's going to be a lot of things left outside the gates of heaven. People say, well, there's going to be walkers, and there's going to be glasses, and there's going to be prosthetics. There's going to be no more need for any drugs or pain medicine. But I tell you what you're going to have. You're going to have a heavenly mind. And you're going to be in a place where there's no more temptation, no more heartache, no more pain. And the devil or nothing that he sins can enter that place. I'm looking forward to that. In the meantime, I'm going to keep preaching and crappy going to be running about a month. And I want to give you something you need. And I'm going to ask them to come with a song. The way to die is to die with hope. You know why I keep going when I'm down? You know why I'm keep going when I'm hurting? Because I have hope. Why does the world not keep going? They don't have hope. There's a line in the first, I think was the first, God's Not Dead. It had the Newsboys in it. And there was a reporter there, a girl. She mocked them. She made fun of them. She wanted to come in front of them, stick her microphone in front of them. Do you really believe all this stuff you're singing about? Do you really believe? And she was hurting inside. You know that most people that come against you, you don't know how bad they're hurting inside. When somebody's mean to you at work or they say something to you, I want to tell you something. Everybody needs God. Yeah. And if they're going to see Him, they've got to see Him through us. They're hurting. And this girl was hurting. They said, yeah, do you really believe? She said, yeah. Amy, we believe. That's where we get our hope. And they said, Amy, where do you get your hope? Now, folks, I know it was just a movie, but this girl had just been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Her boyfriend that she was living with, when he found out about it, he said, well, I'm not staying with you anymore. How many times have we heard those stories in life and people move on? They don't have God. They don't have the hope of God. They don't have the love of God. They don't have the kindness of God. They don't have the forgiveness of God. And we see pain all around us. And he asked her, he said, Amy, where do you get your hope? And I want to ask you something this morning. Where do you get your hope? You can say, well, my hope is in Jesus, and my hope is in my way. My hope is anchored in His blood, and my hope is in that my investments come through. My hope is in my education. No, my hope is in the fact that Jesus rose from the grave. My hope is in the fact that He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again. Here's where our hope lies. Because He lives, we can live. Amen. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father but by Him. I'm going to ask you to come, if you would, with a song. Ask you to stand to your feet. Ask you just to close your eyes for just a minute. Let's just have a prayer. Most important decision you'll ever make in your life is to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You say, I'm afraid. I don't understand. If you want somebody to pray with you, we'll be glad to do that. But here's all it takes. The Bible says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we'll be saved. I've known of people being saved alone at home, driving down the road. One of the best pastors I know was saved after he wrestled with God all night in his den. Just him and God. But if you pray and just say, God, Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. God, I want to know You as my personal Savior. I ask You to forgive me of my sins. God, I accept what You did on the cross at Calvary. If you just pray that prayer, He'll hear you. Amen. You can pray it where you're at, but I want to tell you something about Hiram First Baptist Church. We have an altar here and it's always open. Amen. Question was asked the other night when we were there at the meeting, they said, why do you keep giving altar call? And a preacher said, because God's still saving people. Yes. And that's why we're giving it today. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, would you come? If you're here and you need strength from God, and I understand there's a lot of things that we fight, a lot of things that people fight, but I want you to know something. If you're here, this church cares for you. We want to love on you. We want to help you get through the struggles that you're going through. You come down. We'll get somebody to pray with you. Men with men, women with women. As they sing this song, would you please come right now? Amen.
Condemned to die on a cross for crimes he had done. He was guilty, everyone could see. But then his destiny was changed when he looked at Christ and said, "When your kingdom comes, remember me." In paradise that day he stood, just like the Lord had said he would, surrounded by those who had gone before. One said, "Friend, how did you come? What are the deeds that you have done?" With tears in his eyes, I can hear him reply, "There are no merits to my name, no great works that I can claim. He who brought me